Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Probably one of the more sad aspects of this type of ministry is when we receive emails from professing Christians who are going through a real struggle in their marriage because they have come out of Mormonism and have embraced Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, as their Lord and Savior. Now, you would think that if Mormonism was really Christian, just like the rest of us are Christian, that that wouldn't cause a rift in a relationship. But we know from experience and the emails that we have received that this causes a huge problem in a marital relationship. When the spouse leaves the Mormon church, that's bad enough. But when they leave the Mormon church to become a professing Christian, that only compounds the problem. It's almost as if the Mormon would much rather put up with an agnostic or atheist spouse than to put up with a spouse who professes a more evangelical position of faith. And the sad part is we get a lot of these emails from Christians who are going through this type of a situation. They've left the Mormon church and come to faith in Christ, and now they're finding that their families are just treating them horribly. And we've mentioned this before, that I have talked to many, many ex-Mormons, and when they tell me about how they came out of the Mormon church, I often want to ask them, well, how is your family treating you because of the new commitment that you've made? And more often than not, it's not very positive. In fact, sometimes it's downright horrible.
In Judaism, they have a type of shunning that happens if a person were to leave the Jewish faith, that they are not part of the family anymore. You are no longer my son, the father will say, and I want nothing to do with you. You've been erased out of the will, out of our memories. And in a sense, this oftentimes happens. I've known people here in Utah, where we live, where that has happened. I know somebody specifically I'm thinking about whose parents have said, we want nothing more to do with you. After this gentleman became a believer, they would have him over all the time and have missionaries there regularly to try to reconvert him back, and he wasn't going for it. And finally, they just got tired of doing that, and they said, okay, we don't want you to come at all. And this happens also in the marriage relationships, where one person ends up leaving, perhaps becoming a Christian is the scenario you gave, and the other person doesn't know what to do. And I have known people in that situation where bishops have instructed the spouse, you ought to divorce him because that person is not able to take you to the very best our religion has to offer, and it's okay if you do that. Have had the advice of breaking up the family with children in order to perhaps find somebody else who will be able to finish the job.
So we can understand from a Mormon's position, based on what you just said, that because of their bad theology, and the bad theology that we're talking about is this notion that somehow salvation is a team effort, and if you were to leave the team and join another team, you're messing up that link in the chain. So because you're messing it up so badly, we just get rid of you, and then they go find someone else. In the case of a woman, you need a priesthood holder.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hoping to be married in the next life, because that is a huge thing in Mormon theology, is to be married in the next life, you need a priesthood holder for that to happen. So if a Mormon woman sees her husband leave the Mormon faith and become whatever, agnostic, atheist, or God forbid, an evangelical Christian, that's not going to work. And so she needs a priesthood holder. So like you say, it wouldn't be unusual for her to be counseled to go find someone who is a priesthood holder to make sure that that exaltation, that hope of exaltation would actually come to fruition. But that's a perversion what the Mormons believe in that is a perversion. What does a Christian do in a situation like this? How does the Christian behave? I just got an email just not long ago from a very frustrated Christian person whose husband had joined the Mormon church. And basically, she was saying that he's driving her crazy because of his Mormonism. Now, I don't know what that really meant, because we do use terms like that. I don't think she meant literally crazy. She seemed to still be able to know how to type and think and send me an email at least. But I understand what she's saying. In other words, his Mormonism is placing her in a very uncomfortable situation. It's a difficult situation. It's probably a very tense situation, a strenuous situation. But she asked if, in a situation like that, is she permitted to leave that husband? I would say no.
Well, and I'm sure that in her mind, she's thinking perhaps of the passage where it says not to be unequally yoked. And here she is unequally yoked in a sense of spirituality. But unfortunately, that passage doesn't work, because that's, if you're going to use that in the case of marriage, which that verse is not necessarily talking about marriage, but after you're married, that's no longer an issue. And there are other scriptures, I think, that will address the scripture that we're talking about.
Let's go back to that one, because that verse that you brought up is really preventative. And if you're a Christian and you are listening to what we're saying now and you're saying, yeah, that's my situation, you know, and you knew that that spouse was a Mormon when you married that person, well, first of all, shame on you, because you actually violated that preventative scripture that could have saved you this grief. Now, in some cases, it worked out fine. God in his mercy allowed it to work out fine. And let's say that that Mormon did eventually convert to Christianity. That's great. Moses still got water out of the rock.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go back to that scenario. Moses got water out of the rock. Even when he didn't treat the situation like he was told by God, he still got the blessing, although it cost him in the long run. But what we're talking about here specifically is if you are a Christian and you have a Mormon spouse, it's not going to be easy. You can't have the spiritual harmony that God really intended for you to have. It is going to be difficult, but I don't know of any scripture that really justifies ending that relationship merely because your spouse is a Mormon, and even if that Mormon is giving you a hard time because you're a professing Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that.
And we've talked before about dating a Mormon. If you're somebody out there who thinks that's a pretty good idea, I think you can go back to the passage we just quoted from 1 Corinthians. But you can go to our website and just type dating a Mormon into the search engine. And I have written an article called Should a Christian Date a Mormon? It includes three videos that you ought to see. The preventative part, certainly, you should not date, but once it's already done, then that's what we're talking about in this scenario.
Well, we look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 7. He says, "Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she departs, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife." Now that last line there, I don't know how you can get any other understanding from it. If you're a husband, and I'm sure it would apply to the wives too, especially in our culture where that is not so difficult to do, it's not really an option, especially in the scenario that we're giving. Okay, and I know this can get pretty complicated and pretty deep, but notice the next line. It's in verse 12. He says, "But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say." Now, some might say, well, there's a loophole. This is just Paul talking. Well, yeah, it is Paul talking, but Paul is an apostle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty serious position. I would say if anybody had a good understanding of what God had for his people, an apostle would be the person, a true apostle, not the apostles of the Mormon church, because they're false apostles. But in Paul's case, there's no argument on that. Even a Mormon would have to admit that Paul was an apostle ordained by God in that position. "But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him." So in answer to that question, I have an unbelieving husband or unbelieving wife. They're Mormon. I'm not. Can I leave? I don't see anywhere in what we just read that that is an option, that you can leave. No. It's a difficult situation. There's no doubt it's a difficult situation. But I could almost guarantee you that there's someone out there who's in a worse situation that you are in a marriage relationship, and they are willing to try and stick it out. Because what if you were to leave that person? You may be the one person who could speak into that spouse's life, and now you're going to sever that relationship and make that almost impossible now. Is that really what you want to do? I guess that all comes down to, what is going to give God the most glory? My immediate comfort in getting out of this tense situation or uncomfortable situation, or trying to perhaps win that unbeliever to the Lord in the first place? And that's an option that they're going to have to truly take to heart and think about.
Well, what if, as she has said in her letter to you, that he is driving her crazy and she just can't stand it anymore? What could you say to such a person to be this faithful witness? I mean, what is something that you could say about that?
Well, I don't want to minimize the conflict, because certainly it is, and I would try to be very sympathetic to the situation. But I would also want to challenge that individual to think about the greater goal. Do you want to see, hopefully, this person come to a saving faith? Will that happen at all if you were to get out of that person's life? And yet Paul talks about the wife winning the husband by the conduct of her character, and not necessarily by words.
And I think the only thing that she can do, besides what you've said, is perhaps to lay down some ground rules. If he keeps talking about Mormonism all the time, and it just drives her nuts, she needs to let him know that this is bothersome, and we're going to have to agree to disagree on this issue, but let's keep our marriage strong by not bringing those issues in. I think that would only be fair.
I think it would be reversed, too, because if the husband is not listening to what the wife might have to say, if she is the professing Christian, she's going to have to understand there's going to be limits too, that you keep on hitting this sensitive area over and over again and being insensitive about it, you're going to cause conflicts also.
We're going to have to eliminate nagging on both sides, and we're going to have to agree to disagree on this very important issue.
It is a very important issue.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is the first vision a factual event? Mormon President Gordon B. Hinckley said, either Joseph talked with the Father and the Son, or he did not. And if he did not, then we are engaged in blasphemy. In the booklet, The Palmyra Revival and Mormon Origins, researcher Wesley Walters offers compelling evidence that places the first vision account into serious doubt. For your gift of any size to Mormonism Research Ministry during the month of June, we'd like to send you a PDF version of this booklet as our way of saying thank you for your support. Make your donation by clicking the donate button on our website, mrm.org. Or, if you prefer, you can send a check to P.O. Box 1746, Draper, Utah, 84020. If using a check, just make sure to write your email address on the memo line. If the first vision was not an actual event, 15 million Mormons need to know.